Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has a different threshold. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains witches, human bones, mentions of eating people, and Dungeons & Dragons references. If all of that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You step out of the darkness of a Russian forest. And immediately a harsh winter wind slams into you. A cozy cottage sits in the middle of a snow-covered field. Soft, warm firelight dances behind its windows, and a steady stream of smoke billows from the chimney. Feeling the chill of the wind blow again, you trudge towards the cottage, but the moment you get to the door, an earthquake shakes the earth, sending you falling to your back. The house rises up high above you, revealing that it has two long chicken legs. Scrambling to your feet, you hear a witch's cackle. Killian! Oh, that was really good. Killian, what is this creature?
Baba Yaga's house.
Baba Yaga. This Baba Yaga, so let's open up the cryptid catalog and find out more.
Baba da da! Da, da, da.
Okay, so let's get started. So, what do you know about Baba Yaga?
She has enormous chicken leg house.
She does have an enormous chicken leg house. But that's about her house. What do you know about her?
She has a million warts.
She could. Who's to say?
Yeah, that's how she looks like in Maya's scary stories. Masha's Scary Stories.
Oh, yes. If any children who like this podcast might also like Masha's Scary Stories, it's on Netflix. It is Masha from Masha and Bear, but she tells scary stories. And Baba Yaga is in one of the stories. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You love Masha. You've always loved Masha.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, Baba Yaga is a woman who many believe to be a witch from Slavic from Slavic folklore.
Oh.
Oh.
You know, don't worry. This is about to get, Mama's about to talk about some stuff that's inappropriate.
How do you know? I don't talk about anything inappropriate on a child's podcast. Do you know what I mean when I say Slavic? Do you know what that means?
No.
So Slavic is used to refer to the language of Russian, Ukrainian, and many more Indo-European countries. All right, so that's what the word Slavic means. So she comes from a part of the world that we really haven't talked about a lot yet, but I'm certain that there are plenty more scary stories from this part of the world that we will learn about in the future. So do you know what Baba Yaga roughly translates to?
I don't know.
Can you make a guess?
I think it means like what Baba Yaga does.
You think her name translates to some stuff she does?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. You're on the right track. It more so translates to what she.
Also, what does Yaga mean?
Well, I'm about to tell you. It translates to what she is. So Baba in Slavic means grandmother, and Yaga means witch or grandmother witch. So Bob, like I said, Baba Yaga just literally means grandmother witch, which makes sense because she's usually depicted as older.
I'll be like, hey, grandmother witch.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some tea, please.
I don't know that if you ever actually met Baba Yaga, you would demand tea.
No, I wouldn't.
She's a little.
He did say please.
You did say please. That is correct. She's a little scary, so I would be careful making demands of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One time there was this fairy tale that Masha said told, and there was like this soldier that was really hungry, and she found Baba Yaga's house.
Oh, sounds very much so like Daddy's story he started with.
And so he like got into the house and he found Baba Yaga. And so he like ate like this thing called axe porridge.
Axe porridge.
And Baba Yaga was like, "Can you please give me the recipe, please?"
Oh.
Because he liked it.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, Baba Yaga is usually portrayed as an old witch-like woman who lives deep in the frigid forests of Russia. She stands hunched over with knotted gray hair, a long ripped shroud of a dress, bone-thin legs, and sharp teeth made from iron. So they're metal teeth. Do you know, now, this seems to be the thing that you do know about, is can you tell me what you remember about her house? Because this is the kind of thing that makes Baba Yaga different from all the other witches in stories. So what's different about her house?
C-H-I-K.
So close.
N.
So close.
I-N-L.
Uh-huh.
E.
Uh-huh.
G.
Yep.
S.
That word was perfect. Chicken legs. You're right. Her house has chicken legs. So that is how it's kind of most commonly told. However, in some stories, it actually has goat legs. Or in other stories, it's a normal house with ram horns coming out of the top of it. So no matter what the kind of story is, something weird is happening with her house, right? I like the chicken legs, though. Which one do you like better? The chicken legs, goat legs, or horns?
B. O. T. H.
Both. Well, I named three things. You like all three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So what are witches usually using to, like, fly around?
B.
Okay, just say the word. I am proud of your spelling.
But broom!
Brooms. So, but do you know what Baba Yaga flies on?
A vacuum?
That is a very good guess. She actually flies around on something, personally, I think that is sillier than a vacuum. The vacuum makes more sense.
Yeah,
she flies around on a mortar and pestle. Do you know what that is?
No.
So a mortar and pestle. A mortar is a giant bowl, but it's made out of a stone. And a pestle is like a stone. It's like a stick or a rod that you use, and you put stuff in the bowl, and you use the pestle, the stick, to grind it up into like powder.
No.
So usually
he flies on powder. Cool. That's cool.
So you usually use it like to like grind up herbs or plants to make spices and stuff. Which in folklore, witches or people who practice witchcraft, they use mortar and pestles to grind up the herbs that they need for their spells. So that's, but that, think about how silly Baba Yaga might look flying in a giant stone bowl.
That would look funny. Flying on powder.
Flying on powder. So Baba Yaga sits inside her mortar and uses the pestle almost like a rowboat, and she flies to the sky. Isn't that so funny?
A rowboat?
Like, yeah. Like this.
Row your boat gently on the space. Row me merrily. Life is but a star.
Okay. So, think about it just for a second. She's in this giant bowl as she's just flying around the forest in a giant bowl with her iron teeth. Iron's like metal teeth. And her house is running around the field with chicken legs behind her. Do you think that sounds spooky or silly?
Silly.
Silly. Okay. So, with all of that, do you think Baba Yaga is a good witch? Or a bad witch?
Bad witch.
What if I told you that she can be a little bit of both?
She's kind of like one of the D&D characters a long time ago.
Spoiler alert, Baba Yaga is in D&D.
When Nathan used to play as Nathan's old character was a little girl.
He's playing that character again, yes.
Is it... But is it
She's a grown up now, yes.
Oh.
Anyway, what if I told you that Baba Yaga can be both good and bad? Do you think that makes sense?
No.
No?
She's just bad all over.
Oh, we'll talk about it in a second. So, Baba Yaga has been around for a very long time. She was a part of what we call oral tradition or folk stories.
She might be a boogeyman.
Maybe. We'll find out. It's theorized that Baba Yaga has been spoken about for around homes and villages for hundreds and hundreds of years. However, the first written record of Baba Yaga came just a few years ago in 1755. Do you think that was just a few years ago, or do you think that was a really long time ago?
Really long.
Yeah.
Wait, Mom.
Oh, what? Sorry, go ahead.
I think Baba Yaga is a boogeyman to keep children from not wandering in the woods.
That's a good point. We'll have to, let's keep going and keep learning about her and see if you're right.
Not going into other people's houses without asking.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point. Okay, so let's keep going and see if we find out if that's true or not.
Okay.
So the first time Baba Yaga was written about and not just spoken by word of mouth, it was in a book called Russian Grammar by Mikhail Lomonosov. Lomonosov.
That's just weird.
Your last name is Beamestrifer, so we really don't have a lot of room to talk about last names.
True.
That's true.
Wait, I didn't know that was a last name.
Yeah, that's his last name. His name is Mikhail Lomonosov.
That's weird.
That was not very nice.
It just sounds like...
Again, I will remind you, your last name is Beamestrifer. So... Mikhail wrote about the comparison of early Slavic and Russian gods with Roman gods. Funny thing about Baba Yaga is she apparently is so powerful that she didn't even have a corresponding gods with the Romans. She was in a category all by herself. So what stories are there about Baba Yaga? In some stories, she is said to lure children into her home, cook them into pies, and eat them. Now, what story does that sound like?
The Tale Dark and Grim?
That does sound like The Tale Dark and Grim. What's another story that you listen to all the time where there's a little old lady who goes in her cabin and cooks people into pies specifically?
M-I-C-K-E-Y. Mickey's.
Okay, Mickey's. Yes, Mickey's Scary Stories. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what's that witch's name? She's not named Baba Yaga. What's her name?
Her name is Granny.
Granny. Do you remember? Hexagon. Not Hexagon. Granny Hexaba.
Granny
Hexaba.
That's just and way better cooks, than Baba Yaga.
She cooks Huey, Dewey, Louie, Morty,
and Scary Story.
Yeah, in Nikki's Scary Story, she cooks Huey, Dewey, Louie, Morty, and Ferdy into what?
Pies.
Because what are they?
B-A-D.
Yes, but more specifically, they are rotten. That's why she does it.
That's way bigger than bad.
That is true. In other stories, she helps lost women, sits them down, and speaks to them about their troubles and offers them advice and sends them on their way, which that actually sounds really nice. Yeah. So some stories she's mean and she cooks people into pies, and other stories she's super nice. In another story, she teaches a young prince a lesson to love people for who they are and helps him find his true love. And what does that sound like?
The Fairy Godmother and Snow White?
No. Think about what is it? What story does Mommy specifically love about an enchantress who helps a prince learn a lesson?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. So it doesn't appear that Baba Yaga turned him into a beast, but the lesson is still there. Okay, so, but in 1870, we get one of the best known stories of Baba Yaga in a book called Russian Fairy Tales. It's an interesting story, and it's one that I'm going to tell you right now. Are you ready?
No, you forgot now. Are you ready?
Stop reading ahead.
I should have taught him how to read.
I'm going to tell you now. Are you ready? I said it right. You just haven't learned how to read on different lines yet. The story is called Vanessa the Beautiful.
Okay. That's a bad title. It should be called...
Aha! Daddy didn't come up with this title.
I had to change the name because I couldn't pronounce the real name of the girl, but it does start with a V. Also, that's the original title of the story.
Okay. Daddy didn't come up with that title. That's a spinoff of the original title, and Daddy kindly changed the name to Vanessa because Mommy could not pronounce the Russian name, and I apologize for that. Okay, once upon a time, there was a young, beautiful girl named Vanessa. She lived a happy life with her mother and father. They had a wonderful life together, but sadly, on the girl's 8th birthday, her mother grew sick. On the mother's deathbed, she called her daughter into her room. Vanessa's mother put all her love into a magical doll that she was to keep with her and keep her safe. There were only 2 rules the mother gave her daughter when it came to the doll. The first was to keep its magic a secret, and the second was to feed it food and drink when she faced a challenge in her life. Once fed, the doll would spring to life and offer her advice or help. Vanessa promised her mother that she would keep the doll a secret, and the 2 held each other in a loving embrace. Soon after her mother's death, her father decided to remarry. The woman he chose was beautiful, yes, but she had a dark side. And even worse, the woman had 2 evil daughters. When the father would go away, the evil stepmother and her daughters would abuse Vanessa and give her impossible tasks, like to clean the top of the chimney or to fix a cracked iron pot. Every night, Vanessa cried and fed her doll, who would come to life and help her complete the never-ending chores that were placed before her. Despite years of torment, Vanessa grew into a kind, smart woman whose beauty was spoken about far and wide. Her stepmother would always send any young man who came to talk to Vanessa away, or she would try to get the young man to meet her daughters instead. As Vanessa grew up, the tasks and challenges given to her by her stepmother grew more difficult. The evil stepmother knew the witch Baba Yaga lived in the forest nearby. The evil stepmother also knew that witches love to eat people. So the tasks that Vanessa were sent on grew more simple. Pick 100 berries near the cottage in the woods. Bring back oak leaves from the tree beside the cottage in the woods. And many more tasks like these that brought Vanessa closer to the cottage. All the while, the stepmother was hoping that Vanessa would never come home. Vanessa would carry out these tasks, but never got close to the cottage, daring not even to look in its direction. Fed up that Vanessa continued to come back, the stepmother sent her to knock on Baba Yaga's door and ask her for fire. The stepmother smiled a cruel smile, sending Vanessa off on what she was certain would be Vanessa's death. Now, Killian, this is a direct quote from the original story. Surrounding the hut was a wall of human bones topped with skulls. The gate in the wall had hinges made of the bones of human feet and locks of jaw bones set with sharp teeth. Vanessa froze in horror at the sight. Suddenly, the woods were filled with a terrible noise. Trees groaning, their branches creaking and leaves rustling. Baba Yaga came flying from the forest. She rode in a large iron mortar and drove it with a pestle. As she came, she swept away her trail behind her with her kitchen broom. Baba Yaga greeted the girl at the skeleton-clad gates. Swallowing her fear, Vanessa told the witch that she had come to ask for fire. Looking Vanessa up and down, the witch did a strange thing. She agreed on one condition, that Vanessa work for her. Vanessa agreed, and for a year, Vanessa lived in the cottage deep in the woods, far away from her stepmother, her stepsisters, and the world. Living with Baba Yaga and being the smart woman that Vanessa was, she began to ask some questions. What were the potions? Whose bones were laid on the walls around the cottage? How Baba Yaga could fly, and more. Questions, questions, questions. Vanessa would ask each and every time Baba Yaga would answer. Baba Yaga enjoyed the curiosity, but sometimes would warn that not every question would lead to a good answer. Every day, the tasks Baba Yaga set out for Vanessa were challenging, but with the help of her magic doll, Vanessa continued to impress the witch. Back home, the stepmother and her daughters were enjoying the riches of Vanessa's father. They were confident that Vanessa had been eaten. As the year came to a close, Baba Yaga asked Vanessa a question. She wanted to know how Vanessa was able to handle all of the tasks that she had been given. Vanessa thought for a long moment. She didn't want to tell Baba Yaga about her magic doll. So Vanessa told Baba Yaga that her mother had blessed her. Scoffing at the blessing, Baba Yaga sent Vanessa home. But before she left, Baba Yaga plucked a skull from the wall and placed an enchantment on it. Behind the dark eyes of the skull, a small flame flickered. Bidding Baba Yaga farewell, Vanessa made her way home. Walking into her home, Vanessa handed the skull to her stepmother. The moment the skull touched her hands, it rose into the air and began shooting fire from its mouth and eye sockets, killing her stepmother and her daughters. Vanessa escaped the burning house and moved into the city where the magic doll gave her advice and told her how to find a job. Vanessa became a seamstress and began to work for the king, who loved how talented and smart she was. He loved asking Vanessa questions and learning about all the strange and wonderful things that she knew. The two fell in love and were married.
Famous Disney.
Don't read. So that's it. That's the story. Did that story sound familiar to you at all? That story didn't sound like something that you know, like about a girl who was beautiful and then she got kind of tormented by her stepmother and stepsisters. And then
I do.
Oh, you do?
Snow White and Beauty.
Well, kind of.
And Snow White.
Cinderella. So Cinderella had an evil stepmother and two evil stepsisters. But in Cinderella, who helped Cinderella get a better life for herself?
Fairy godmother.
But who helped Vanessa?
A doll.
Yes, the doll, but also Baba Yaga. So is Baba Yaga the fairy godmother?
Yes.
Interesting.
The fairy godmother's sister.
Kind of could be. We never know. That's a good idea. I could see it behind Daddy's eyes. You just gave him a good idea for D&D. Which, speaking of D&D, listen to this. So today, Baba Yaga can be found in many places. Movies, stories, and your daddy's favorite place was when she shows up in his D&D campaigns. She exists in the campaign setting, which is called Curse of...
Death.
Nope. Do you remember what it's called? The D&D story? Curse of... Strahd. Curse of Strahd, and she lives in Barovia and plays a creepy role in the Strahd Van Zarvich's life. Oof. So, what do you think of Baba Yaga? She's kind of an enigma. She kind of is good, and she's kind of bad, and she's kind of scary, but she's also kind of funny. So, like, what do we think about her? What is your thoughts on her?
She's death-defying.
She's death-defying? Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Like, she kills people by eating them.
Oh, so you believe the Granny Hexaba type story where she eats people, turns them into pies and eats people?
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah? I kind of liked the story of her helping someone.
Yeah, I like that story.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of think.
Yeah, that story, Daddy.
Yeah?
Just, wow. You told me that you would make a really, 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 really scary story.
Well, I said that's going to be for the one next week.
Oh!
Well, Daddy kind of made up this story, but kind of didn't. It was already a story that existed. You know what I'm saying?
Daddy adapted it.
Adapted it. That's the word Mommy was looking for. All right, so did you like Baba Yaga? Did you like learning about her?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... thank you for listening. I'm Killian.
I'm Karina.
And this has been...
The Cryptic Catalog.
Until next time, remember... The cryptids are watching. Thank you for listening to the Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemisterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemisterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grownups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.